You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
This week, a glowing element that significantly changed the periodic table. Richard Caulfield.
When I was a little boy, my father used to tell a story about an acquaintance of his who kept a lump of rock in his desk. His party trick, after a few drinks, was to draw the curtains, touch the pebble to the forehead of a volunteer, turn out the light, and lead the hilarity as the victim's face blazed with a ghostly blue light. Eventually, my father's acquaintance died, and the executor of his estate started to dispose of his possessions. Finding the lump of rock in his desk, and noticing the sourceless, dull blue glow that surrounded it, he sought advice. Within hours, the house had been sealed off, and men in white environment suits with tongs and a lead box were relocating the magic pebble to the Atomic Energy Research Establishment at Harwell in Oxfordshire, the secret hub of Britain's nuclear research and development industry from the end of the Second World War to the 1990s. The pebble was, of course, pitchblende, the naturally occurring mineral that Pierre and Marie Curie had used as the source of the radioactive elements that they discovered in the closing years of the 19th century. Pitchblende does not just contain actinium, the topic of this podcast. It also contains radium, radon, and polonium, the latter, if we are to believe recent news reports, the Russian assassin's toxin of choice. Actinium, like radium and polonium, emits an ethereal blue radiance which contributes to pitchblende's luminescent properties. Although radium, radon, and polonium were observed first, of all the components of pitchblende, actinium was the first to be isolated. Actinium has an important place in the history of chemistry. It was the first of the non-primordial elements to be discovered. Primordial elements are those that have existed in their current state since before the Earth was formed. In other words, their half-life is greater than about 10 to the 8 years. All stable elements are primordial, as are many radioactive elements. Chemically, actinium, which in its native form is a silvery metal, has similar characteristics to that of the other rare earth elements such as lanthanum. Actinium has 36 isotopes, all of which are radioactive. Actinium-227, the isotope which comprises all naturally occurring actinium, has the longest half-life at 21,773 years. All the remaining radioactive isotopes have half-lives of less than 10 hours, the majority having half-lives of less than a minute. Actinium-227 is about 150 times as radioactive as radium, making it a valuable source of neutron energy. Although actinium is found in trace amounts in uranium ore, more commonly it is synthesized in milligram amounts by the neutron irradiation of radium-226 in a nuclear reactor. Actinium gives its name to a block of 15 elements that lie between actinium and lawrencium in the periodic table, with atomic numbers 89 through 103. These actinides, or actinoids, as they are more correctly known these days, gain their name from the first element in the series, actinium, itself named after the Greek word for ray, thus reflecting the element's already mentioned visible radioactivity. The actinoids were the first major addition to be made to Mendeleev's periodic table. American physicist Glenn T. Seaborg was experiencing unexpected difficulty isolating the elements americium and curium during his work with the Manhattan Project during the Second World War. He found himself wondering if these elements more properly belonged to a different series from the transition metals, which would explain the differing chemical properties of the new elements he was synthesizing in the nuclear reactor at Berkeley University in California. In 1945, Seaborg finally proposed the actinides and in so doing created the most significant change to the periodic table since Mendeleev's creation of it in 1869. early in his career, Seaborg was a pioneer in the study of nuclear medicine and developed numerous isotopes of elements with important applications in the diagnosis and treatment of diseases, most notably iodine-131, which is used in the treatment of thyroid disease. Actinium also has a role to play in nuclear medicine. Actinium-225 can be used as the active agent in targeted alpha therapy, also known as TAT, a technique for inhibiting the growth of secondary cancers by direct irradiation with nuclear material, in this case, bismuth-213, derived from actinium-225. And so an element discovered in the same mineral pitchblende which kick-started the whole science of nuclear chemistry today stands at the crossroads of one of the most challenging of all medical disciplines, finding a cure for cancer. The irony is that pitchblende inflicted a dreadful toll on those who worked with it in the early years of the study of radioactivity. Marie Curie suffered terrible radiation burns from handling it and eventually, in later life, contracted radiation-induced aplastic anemia from which she died. Even today, Marie Curie's papers from the summit of her career in the 1890s, including her cookbook, are still considered too dangerous to handle and are kept in lead-lined boxes.
So, whilst offering hope for treating the deadly effects of cancer, the element itself had deadly effects on its founders, and therefore must be handled with care. That was science writer Richard Caulfield with the radioactive chemistry of actinium. Now, next week, we go beyond the actinides.
When the last member of the actinide series, element 103, or lawrencium, was discovered, I was at school doing my A-levels. The isotope found had a mass of 258, and it didn't hang about for long. It had a half-life of just 3.8 seconds. This was not unexpected, as half-lives had been getting shorter right along the actinide series. This discovery prompted the scientific community to start asking, are there any other elements waiting to be made beyond lawrencium? And if so, where would they fit in the periodic table?
Join Simon Cotton to find out how element 104, rutherfordium, was discovered, and how its place in the periodic table was found, in next week's Chemistry in Its Element. Until then, I'm Meera Senthilingam, and thank you for listening.
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.